Welcome back to another episode of Overserved with your host, myself, Joe Puccirelli, my co-host, Rachel. And obviously, we're post-US Open. Still a lot going on in the tennis world. We just had one of the biggest exhibitions in tennis, the Laver Cup. And we had some more drama, just like last year. A little bit different. It wasn't Roger's going away party where we saw Roger and Rafa crying, sitting there together. But this time, obviously, a little bit more drama, headlining with Monfils and FAA.
I know, right? That was quite a little bit of drama on the sidelines there. You know, Felix got a little upset because Monfils, he felt like Monfils wasn't really taking the event as seriously as he should. And I guess he was, you know, having a bit too much fun out there for Felix. But to me, I think that, you know, I was asked my opinion on him. I think the guys maybe could have met in the middle a little bit. Maybe Monfils take it a little bit more serious. Felix relax a little bit, maybe have some fun. But I think this goes to show that Laver Cup might have a bit of an identity crisis here, because if the players don't really know what kind of event they're playing, then I feel like that's something with the event. And I saw a lot of people kind of discussing it, like, you know, should it be more of an exhibition? Should it be more fun, or should it be taken more seriously? The thing about Laver Cup is that, you know, it counts towards head to heads for these players, but it doesn't count for rankings. There are incentives like prize money, but, you know, it is kind of one of those terms. You're like, is this like super serious, like a Davis Cup, like a Hopman Cup, or is it more like an exhibition, like World Team Tennis? And I think that's what we need to figure out with Laver Cup moving forward.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head with Felix, and that is he's just having such a bad year that he's probably just way more uptight than I bet he usually would be. You know, first round exit of the U.S. Open, I think it was a second round in Cincinnati. So just some of those, and that's just a recent, you know, recent two tournaments in the United States. This whole season has not been ideal to him, whether it's been, you know, a little bit of injury, kind of just some mental issues going on where he's just getting back to, you know, getting back in form. But I think it's something where Monfils, who's, you know, obviously puts on the show for people, that's what he does. He goes to events when he's playing well, when he's healthy, he likes to put on a show. And I think obviously this being an exhibition in the sense, that's what he was looking to do. And I think Felix is still looking to get in form and just, you know, probably disappointed in the way he's playing. So I think he was just taking a little bit more seriously.
Yeah, I could see that too. Maybe taking some frustrations out on Monfils as well. But it really was fun to see that team dynamic with all those guys, you know, on both sides, Team Europe and Team World. But super fun to see Ben bring that college atmosphere that he loves so much to the Laver Cup stage. So yeah, I think it overall was just a phenomenal event.
Yeah, he didn't skip a beat. He brought back the phone celebration, obviously.
He did.
Again, he had the whole team doing it. Everybody was dialed in. I love that, obviously.
If only Djokovic was on the other team.
I know. So he didn't, that's the thing. Most players, you know, maybe just because they don't have his moxie, a confidence, like, you know, they wouldn't do the celebration again. But that almost made him double down on it. I'm sure it's not going to be the last time, obviously, we see him do that. But like you said, some of the younger players, Ben Shelton, Arthur Fils, just, you know, that it's almost like a handing of the torch for that next generation of tennis, the younger players. And like you said, I think they're trying to gauge exactly how seriously to take this. You know, obviously, you know, it's post US Open. They're probably still in go, you know, in like Grand Slam mode in the sense. But then again, they get a little bit of a break. So it's just a tough situation to gauge. But I think they did it the best, you know, and they kept it entertaining and it was fun to watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then so more drama too, a lot of drama this week, obviously now heading into the women's side, right into the WTA, one of the, you know, the biggest stars on that side, top five player, one of your favorites, Elena Rybakina, obviously had a lot to say with the performance buys. I just kind of wanted to hear your take on it.
You know, when decisions like this are made, I honestly like stop and think, and I'm like, where is the sense here? Where is it? Because it makes literally no sense. Like, I like the idea behind the performance buy, right? It's so hard for players that make it into that final round of the tournament, final rounds of the tournament, to recover before that next tournament. I mean, they're back to back to back, and it's hard to find that solution. And so this performance buy, I see where their head is at, like, okay, let's give the players that need, you know, it to the finals the week before, that extra day, they'll get the buy. But that does not mean that you take the buy away from a player that rightfully earned it. And she earned it. Rybakina earned that number three ranking, and she should have been given the buy. And if I were her, I would be just as mad too. I mean, she pulled out of the tournament. I don't blame her. I know it was for an injury, but maybe it was frustrations with that. I mean, it's ridiculous. It really, really is. And, you know, I've thought about, like, I've thought of ways how there could be like a solution for this. Like, you know, is it maybe taking a tournament out of the schedule, or is it having smaller draws? But none of that would work because everyone would lose money. Everyone, the tournaments, the players. And there's really, I don't know what the answer is, but it's not to take the buy away from the player that rightfully earned it.
Yeah, that's so tough. Like you said, she did fall out of that tournament, and it's one of those things. Maybe if she had that buy, and because it was because of injury, and you know, it probably majority was that, but maybe she would try to push a little bit more if she did have that buy and still had that. And then obviously with the frustration, the way her body was feeling, I'm sure she just dropped and was like, you know, it's not even worth it. When you want to have a player of that caliber in your tournament, obviously it's exciting. It's great for women's tennis. You know, someone with that much power, that much pop. So it's just a shame to see what the love. Seeing her perform last week, obviously.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, it's so hard for players to travel back and forth. I mean, we're about to talk about the Guadalajara Open and then the players that went over for the Asian swing, and that now they're coming back to Mexico for the finals. Like, it's just, it's very, very strenuous, and it's hard for these players.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Guadalajara, obviously a big career win, and one that was well needed for Maria Sakkari. Obviously gaining that title there, we spoke about it, wasn't the toughest competition, the toughest draw. That being said, you have to go out there and win, and whoever's put in your way, you have to defeat them. And, you know, she can't work out who she's facing. The draw was a little lighter than usual, especially for a 1,000-level tournament. I mean, you just have to think about some of the 500-level tournaments that your players go through and win, and it's like Grand Slam level. And then you have this 1,000-level tournament where Maria Sakkari kind of just walked through, besides playing, I think, Caroline Garcia was the highest-ranked competitor who, you know, she's not – particularly in form either. So congrats to her, obviously. But kind of just wanted to hear your thoughts on it. It's just a weird situation.
Yeah. I mean, it almost felt like they were begging for players to play this tournament. I mean, there were some doubles specialists in the singles draw. I think that, you know, Maria, she's had a hard time winning that second title. I think it's been 4 years. And so if there was any tournament to take advantage of, it was this one. Like you mentioned, you know, Caroline Garcia being one of the higher ranked players and Anshipper, both of them haven't been having great years. And so, you know, the two highest ranked players not having a good year. I know Belinda was in it. She's been doing well. But I mean, that was up for anyone's taking that tournament. Seriously, like, I don't want to say I want to put an asterisk by it, but kind of like for a 1,000 event, that was an interesting tournament. But happy for Maria. Like, you know, it's, with that being said, it's never ever an easy match on the professional tennis tour. So she did have to, you know, fight through some matches to get to the finals and take the title. So it's really awesome to see that she won the 1,000. I really hope it gives her some confidence, and we'll see her kind of carry this on with her for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but and kind of getting into that, do you think it's why she keeps that high ranking and kind of like tournaments like these, she pats that ranking and then stays up there and has a high ranking. And then we see her lose in, you know, Grand Slam events or 1,000 level events in the first, you know, couple of days. And then we're like, oh, a high ranked player loses again, or, you know, she gets upset again. And is it something where she's just taking advantage and might have a higher ranking than she might deserve right now? Or is it just something where it's, you know, she actually has been very unfortunate in those draws and just hasn't worked out?
You know, I think that Maria, she makes it like she doesn't lose first round a lot. She makes it like, you know, to that middle, I feel like, level of the tournament, like the quarterfinals kind of a thing. Like she always does have like produce some results that give her that higher ranking. I don't think that there's ever an easy tennis tournament on tour. So this is like, it's like kind of like, you know, its own instance, this Guadalajara one. But I do think I think it's just that she's consistently playing these tournaments and winning, you know, a series of rounds in each tournament.
Yeah. Maybe finally she's just getting out of the Netflix curse. You have to think, obviously, with Maria, and then you have Ons kind of getting to that place, didn't have a great year this year. The Netflix curse, still definitely a thing, breakpoint. Somehow, I don't know how it worked out, it affected a lot of these players. We're seeing it with Felix, seeing it with a few of these guys. But we'll see what happens. So shout out to her. Obviously won this 1,000-level tournament. Like you said, nothing's given. Moving on to the men's side, obviously the Asian swing is taking place right now. And it has to be a little bit refreshing, but tiring in the same sense, because obviously they were in the United States for the last, you know, few weeks. months at Cincinnati, the U.S. Open. Now they're traveling over to Asia. So for the European players, the American players, a little bit of a change up. And there has to be a little bit of a culture shock in the sense, just a lot going on, a lot of travel, you know, a lot of tournaments being played all over Asia.
So I talked to a few of my friends on tour that are over there and was asking them about it. They said it's really, really hot, but that they're having a lot of fun. They were able to go shopping and sightsee and explore. They did mention that they're not used to the cuisine out there, but they're finding some food to eat. And yeah, they're super excited to play. So it is, you know, it's an exciting few weeks over in Asia. And yeah, but it'll be fun to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, you have to think for some of these younger players too, who are just really getting to travel, maybe the first time, you know, who aren't competing in challenger events anymore, and this is their first time on the Asian swing. It's just something you get to, and that's, I think, the coolest part about playing, you know, a major professional sport like tennis. You get to travel all over the world. It's not United States based. It's not Europe based. I mean, you're all over. So it's different types of people. You're obviously seeing different countries. It's just a lot to see, a lot to take in. So hopefully those players are doing it and taking advantage. I'm sure they're tired. Obviously, it's a long season, but hopefully they're having a blast. I know who is having a blast right now is our friend Sasha Zverev, who just won a huge title. His 21st title, I believe, in Chengdu with a huge win that just took place in the past day or two. Obviously, the fact that he had such a big injury last year and came back from that and is just, you know, almost looks at the top of his game again, and I think really going to start competing for Grand Slams once again here shortly. He looks incredible right now.
It was so good to see him get that win that he's been hoping for a while. You know, he's had an up and down year, and he's had some really good results in tournaments. He's had some not so good results in tournaments. And I think he's finally finding his consistent footing on tour, being back here healthy. So yeah, it's really good to see him get that win. I'm excited for him, and I hope he can take it to the next one, to the China Open. Another player that I thought was pretty, really impressive was the guy he played in the finals, this Roman Safulian. I might be saying that wrong, but he had to beat a lot of talented players to get to Zverev, and he took him to three sets. So, you know, he beat Thompson, he beat Musetti. He is just like a player to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he's a guy, I think, at some point, if you see him early on in some of these bigger draws, 500,000 ATP level, you don't want to see him early on. Definitely not in the competition. He's been having a real solid year. I know he beat Tommy Paul a few times. I remember he beat Felix one time early on in the year. So another guy who's having a really good deep year. But like you said, just it just shows what confidence could do for you, because Zverev was a guy who was going to go a few points without even double faulting. So somebody who, you know, is that talented, could be at that high level that we've seen. It's good to see him back.
It really is. Yeah. But that next tournament we were just talking about is the China Open, and that draw is stacked, so stacked. So it's going to be a very challenging tournament for all involved.
Yeah, for a 500, anytime you have Alcaraz, Holger Rune, Sinner, some of those bigger names. I saw Felix was in it once again, and that's, you know, just a select handful. It's going to be a huge tournament. It's one of those things where you almost feel like it's like they almost slipped. Obviously, they didn't slip in the Grand Slam, but the level of play, the talent, it's something where you get to see those guys, because very often with injury, kind of just schedule conflict, where all those guys are in the same tournament, it just, as much as it you'd love for it to happen, they usually make sure they're all playing for Grand Slams, all healthy, but that's 3-4 a year, obviously, right? So they get to see them all in one huge or bigger tournament again is awesome.
And this is kind of the players' last chance for that year-end final. They're those top eight players. I mean, Zverev is a contender. So all these players, this is kind of like one of their last chances to get those points and compete at the end of the year in Turin.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Turin is probably one of the most exciting events. Last year, obviously, every year, some huge names, the best of the best, really exciting stuff. So seeing those top eight, that's probably a reason why they're making sure they're all playing. Obviously, I don't think Novak's in it, but kind of just seeing the last kind of push, like you said, to see that final eight.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So this is going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm. And I've been waiting on this topic all day. We were using it to close out this episode because it was the juiciest topic of the episode. But our favorite tennis couple, Badosa and Tsitsipas, on their shared Instagram, all the pictures were erased. I don't know what that means. I kind of wanted to see how you were interpreting it. But like I said, I love some tea. I love some drama. Forget all the on-court stuff. This is what I want to talk about.
Yeah, this is right up your alley. You know, I don't know too much about this aside from I did see that, I guess, their shared account, the TC Dosa account, all the photos were erased, where I think caused a lot of people some panic. Maybe they thought they weren't doing well. Haven't really heard much otherwise about the relationship. Hopefully both are okay. But yeah, I'm really not sure. I guess it is Gail Monfils and Alina are tennis's couple truly. So maybe that's it.
And maybe, I mean, it could have just been a summer fling. You know what I mean? People forget, which is usually summer, more people, you know, you're kind of doing your own thing. You're not all cuffed up. Usually now's the cuffing season. Usually like September, October starts the pumpkin picking. I was looking forward to see some pictures of Badoza and Tispas pumpkin picking, doing matching Halloween costumes. But obvious or potentially it might be it. I don't know. I just love to see. Not love to see it, but it just shows that I have something in common with professional tennis players, because when I break up with somebody, I delete the pictures on Instagram too, just like they do. So,
okay, well, I've got a question for you. So we see the Chiefs, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that tennis could have a Travis Kelce situation with, I think it could be a Ben Shelton. I could totally see him getting some superstar female girlfriend and being that Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift equivalent in tennis.
But on the level of both of them, I don't know. Because you have to think, Travis Kelce, like, people are trying to be like, oh, some people only know Travis Kelce now because of Taylor Swift. And he's been a top NFL player for the last 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, Ben Shelton, I love Ben Shelton. He's an absolute stud. But tennis to the NFL, I could totally.
Ben is getting huge, though. Like, yes. He's getting huge. He's all over TikTok, Ben. The ladies love Ben.
I thought Ben had a girlfriend in Florida. So you guys can hear it. Ben, Rachel is trying to set you up with some.
I'm not trying to set him up.
Some pot with somebody in the level of Taylor Swift or something. But I can definitely see what you're saying. American-based player. Ben's got some swag to him. Absolutely can see that. I think that's a huge shout out that you just compared it to Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. I love that. But it would be great for tennis. I would love to see it.
I also think Ben's getting that star power of like Andy Roddick and Andre Agassi. Yeah. I think it's just he's building and it's growing. And just seeing everyone talk about him and non-tennis fans talk about him, it's exciting to see it.
I think it's similar to the level of Coco, where Coco is getting all these other professional athletes. And not only I mean, you're talking about rappers, singers, anybody, movie stars, actors who are all at these events talking about wanting to see Coco. I think that's starting to happen with Ben, which is just going to be great for the game. We saw Justin Bieber, Hailey Bieber. We saw Timothy Chalamet, Kendall Jenner, a bunch of huge names at the U.S. Open watching him and watching some of these other players. So I think, like you said, I mean, he's young enough. Obviously, he's got the swag. He could definitely make that happen. I'm looking. The thing that I'm interested to see is if the whole Taylor Swift and Kelce thing is more of a
PR. Not
publicity. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For PR. I can at least see that with Travis Kelce. I mean, it's great for him, obviously. It's, you know, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm interested to see what happens with Badosa. Badosa, if it didn't work out, I am.
Oh, single. God.
Easy. This is my one shout out. I am single, Badosa. So I'm just saying, you know, I don't have the hair of the man bun like Tispas, but hopefully maybe we can make it work.
You know what? Good for you, because I heard that's how Travis got Taylor, because he was public about it. He's like, I like Taylor Swift. So look at you. Maybe it'll
that's
work.
That's what I'm trying. I think it's going to take a lot more. I think it's going to take a lot more than the overserved, a shout out on the overserved episode. But I mean, I'll do a couple DMs. I'll do like one or two DMs a night. You know, just keep shooting my shot. We'll see what happens.
You're so creepy.
Oh, you say that now until it works. And then next episode.
Until it works.
Next, in 3 episodes from now, when it's me and Badosa sitting here.
Pucha Dosa.
I'm telling you, it works. We'd be a cute couple. So I'm shooting my shot. There it is. I mean, unless they're together. So unless I got to give them the respect, we'll wait to see what happens.
Look at that.
So we'll make sure to cover it next time. I'm sure we'll have more info on it on the court, the info, off the court. Everything you need to know tennis. Next episode on the Overserve. See you guys next week.
Thanks for watching, guys.
See ya.